You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Keith
Johnson.
Maria Menounos and Bing.com present live from the Kari Feinstein Oscar Style Lounge at the world-famous Mondrian Hotel on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, California. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's movie edition. Tonight's AfterBuzz movie is The Help. We'll break down everything from the making of The Help to behind the scenes and everything in between. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite movie, it's AfterBuzz TV's The Help.
You'll never see him.
Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm Derek Shore, coming to you live from the lovely Mondrian Hotel here on the world-famous Sunset Strip in West Hollywood, along with Candon Bliss.
Hello.
Kendra Cabasel. And Brooke Shire.
How's it going, everybody?
And we are so excited because today we have Brunson Green. He is an Oscar nominee.
Yeah.
He produced the film The Help, which, of course, we will be here for the next hour chatting about. And Brunson, I've got to say, I was one of those guys who woke up at 5:36 in the morning to listen to nominations.
Okay.
And when I heard them say your name, that was a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been friends with you for a while. But what was going through your mind?
Well, the night before, you know, you never know what's going to happen, who's going to get a nomination or what. So the night before, Octavia hosted a huge dinner for us for about 15 help team members.
Wow.
including Tate and Allison Janney.
Who did the cooking for that dinner?
Oh, no, right. It was in a restaurant because Octavia cannot cook.
They better have had some southern cooking.
The chicken thing was
chocolate pie.
Oh, man.
And so we have kind of like whatever happens tomorrow, you know, we've had a great experience. We're all family.
Right.
It's, this is as good as it might get, so that's great.
But, you know, so I often hear actors and people who might be up for a nomination say, oh, yeah, I was sleeping and someone called to wake me up.
Right.
I mean, come on. That's a bunch of BS.
Right,
we're all sitting there watching and
waiting,
right?
No, actually, that happened to
Jessica Chastain. She was in Paris, right?
Yeah.
She had Paris Fashion Week.
Yeah, she was in Paris. And then, no, Octavia thought it happened for the Golden Globes at 5 o'clock a.m., so she didn't see the announcement, so she went back to bed, and then they called her 5:35.
Right.
But
wow.
Anyway, so we had a slumber party for the Oscar
announcement. Wow, that's fun.
And so it was Tate, Octavia, myself, and then Anna O'Reilly, who plays Elizabeth, and Chris Wohl, who plays Stuart. So we all kind of camped out, got like 2 hours of sleep.
That's fun.
And then had the announcements. It was great.
Excitement. You can't sleep on a night like that.
But, you know, it seems like so many people come to this town, you work your butt off, and becoming an Oscar nominee is about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
That's about as big as it gets. So, I mean, I know it's great, but what really, are you up at night? Because I know that if I were nominated this coming Sunday, these next few nights, I would just be, your head must be
like, what are you going to do on Saturday?
Saturday, there's event. The thing is, there's events for 5 days in a row, so by the time the Oscars happen, you're supposedly so exhausted that your mind's numb, so you're not nervous. And I mean, I'm already getting tired.
So, you're like, I'm over it.
Just thinking about
what
it.
What was really cool is the invitations are hand delivered, and so they came today to my office.
Oh, that's exciting.
And that's kind of when it was like, oh, this is real.
Dang,
it's really
happening. Didn't happen to bring it, did you?
No.
Aww.
I'd love to see what that looks
that's
like.
That's a great prop. No,
well, I tweeted it. So.
Okay, well, okay,
we'll check it out.
Ask you this question. Now, this whole particular thing was about family. Now, I know people always use the analogy, you can't work with friends, mixing business with pleasure. How? I mean, this was a run for 20 years, a long time.
Yeah,
you know, that y'all
have
known each other, and then the development of it, trusting each other, you know, those gut feelings. How did you keep it together? Wasn't any arguments? How did you stay intact?
I mean, well, families argue, but our friendships have, you know, we've been friends for 17 years now,
right.
And Tate and Catherine have been friends since they're 5 years old.
Right.
It's amazing.
So,
that is amazing.
And the cool thing is that Catherine was sweet enough to trust us to adopt her novel, her baby, and bring it to the screen. And everybody in the book industry was telling her not to do it because we had only done indie films, and you know, they're like, oh, you know, so it's going to be a huge studio movie. Just wait. And so what I told Catherine was, you know, it'll end up where it should be
in the end.
So just trust us. We're going to work our butts off and make the best movie possible, and we'll see what happens. You know what? And it ended up at DreamWorks. You know, which is kind of a dream place for this type of project.
The orbit of everything.
Yeah,
I mean, so much heart and soul came into this movie because of that relationship, and I think that's why it's so much more exciting that all of you get to share this exciting moment, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a blast this weekend, and Catherine Stockett, who we're taking to the Oscars also, she just walked in.
We'll get her
out
here.
Talk to her. And, you know, because we want her to be a part of the Oscars too, because then we wouldn't be here without her.
Right. Because of that relationship, being so close-knit, did that influence any of the risks maybe you did take or didn't take in the process of making the movie?
Well, we felt like we had a real sense of responsibility to do the best job possible and not kind of glaze over the details.
Right. Yeah.
And so one thing we really wanted to do was shoot in Mississippi because we wanted to kind of maintain the authenticity that came out of the voices of Catherine's writing, out of her characters.
Yeah.
And being able to shoot in Mississippi, which was kind of difficult to convince people to do, because a big movie hadn't shot there in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So,
and the governor was very excited to have you come.
Oh,
right?
Great. And
the
state of Mississippi was amazing. I mean, they really stepped up to the plate. They actually improved their incentives after we shot there.
That's wonderful.
To match Louisiana, which is incredible. So they're the best incentives really in the nation.
Wow.
And they provided us a grant for us to kind of bridge the gap between Louisiana and Mississippi, because we were shooting in a disadvantaged area in the Delta to sub out for Jackson of the 60s we shot in.
Right, right.
So anyway, I think that because we had so many people in Mississippi that tried so hard to help us make the best movie possible, then, you know, you try your best, you do your best, then, you know, there's really no disappointment.
Did you guys run into any roadblocks as far as filming in Mississippi with that kind of story?
Initially, there were a couple of people that hadn't read the book, but were defensive, and some of my mother's friends.
Just because of the subject matter, right?
Yeah, because, you know, because you love your home state, your hometown, Catherine has a saying which you can ask her. I'll just do a horrible job of paraphrasing it, but she's basically like, I can say anything bad about my mother, but don't you dare
say
anything.
You don't say something about
it. And it's kind of,
so I can say something about Mississippi, but nobody else either.
But after about a month of us being there, and our crew was amazing. I mean, the people that decided to work on The Help didn't come to do it for a paycheck. They did it because they loved the script. And so even the Teamsters and the Grip and Electric, which are usually people that just show up for work and don't necessarily read a script, they all read the script and loved it. So everybody in the town got to know all this crew and see how much of a love of the story that they had for it and what a great job they were going to do. And so it just kind of, this love fest.
That's
kind of
awesome. That energy.
And we would hang out on the weekends with all the locals. Like,
that's,
they'd have
awesome
milk punch and, you know, anyway. So.
Well, what I was going to ask you to do for our viewers is to give us sort of a snapshot of your relationship, not only with Octavia and Allison and Tate, and it seems like the story is so interlaced for so many reasons. And I remember, guys, going to a film you produced a few years ago called Chicken Party.
Yes.
Oh, right.
And it really was sort of a showcase of these phenomenally talented actors.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa McCarthy, who's won an Emmy and becoming a huge star.
Right.
Octavia Spencer, Allison Janney, Tate Taylor was in it and directed it. You produced it. I mean, it's amazing how all of you, a few years later, your careers are just blowing up. So can you just briefly sort of give us a snapshot of how you all met, fast forward to today, and talk about your friendships and how, I mean, obviously you all must be very excited for each other and the success that you're all experiencing at the same time.
Yeah,
right.
It's been about 17 years, and how it started was that typical Southern way where a mutual friend of ours said, you need to meet Brunson because he works in film, because Tate wanted to work in film.
Well,
he worked in television.
Mm-hmm.
And so I happened to be in Mississippi, and we went to the Medgar Evers Memorial Blues festival. It's this huge 5,000 people.
Yep. Wow.
BB King's there. It's amazing. We were like one of like 12 white people. In the thing, but
was that in Memphis?
No, it's north of Jackson.
Okay. And, close enough. I used to live in Memphis.
And it's an amazing experience because the best blues musicians in the in the world come for this festival every summer.
Wow.
And so I met Tate there, and I said, you know, there's this movie called A Time to Kill coming into town in Jackson. Just walk in the door and tell me you want to be a PA. Just like
he listened to you.
Yeah, it did. Like 3 weeks later, they came in town. He went in there, and on the Time to Kill, he met Octavia, who was a PA.
Connection.
Funny how things happen. Huh?
And by the way, she was a PA wrangling extras, right?
No.
Can you just imagine Octavia Spencer like whipping these extras
in
the shade?
I don't want to know what that looks like.
She, I'm sure, was phenomenal.
Oh
at her
job. She, because she's so personable. And you know, being an extra is kind of a unsung hero kind of job.
Of course.
And she would keep everybody excited and happy. And so we all moved to LA around the same time. And so the 2 days after Octavia and Tate got into LA, that's when I met Octavia in a friend's kitchen. I remember exactly when I met her.
So that story, now I read a story that, you know, because they said Octavius was into all of the mystery crimes, and that Tate told her about, you know, your parents dying, so she used to come up you showing you all this love, and you used to always wonder, like, where is all this love? She hug you like this motherly feeling, but all along, it was a trick. It was a prank. Tell us.
I need to hear this story.
I mean, we've all played practical jokes.
Right.
Oh, no.
Like, I convinced Allison Janney to pretend like she was psychic.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, this special trick on Octavia. And so then Octavia's like, we need to go to Vegas now. I mean, literally, it's like, oh, we'll go to Vegas next week and, you know, we'll do the cards. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Wait, and people believed that she was psychic?
Octavia
seriously?
Did. Yeah. Octavia is gullible.
Wow.
And, but yeah.
Gullible's right in the ceiling.
I won't go into the particulars, but Tate played a joke on her saying that my family had tragically passed away. Actually, that my father had killed the rest of the family.
Oh, my gosh!
And that
I was an orphan, and to be nice to me. But he didn't tell me that he was playing that joke. So then I'm just talking about my family like they're alive, and she thinks I'm insane. So for 6 months.
Wow.
And then he put two and two together, like, oh, wait, I was just joking about that.
You know, that doesn't surprise me about you guys somehow.
Yeah.
I can see it.
It does not surprise me.
If we can just get into some of the meat of the movie, the overarching message of an influential person bringing meaning into somebody's life. Just as May had Abilene and Catherine actually had her Dimitri, you had Ms. Kilpatrick. She wasn't a maid.
Judy Kilpatrick,
Can you tell us about that?
Judy Kilpatrick was one of these special women in my school. She was my librarian for 12 years.
Wow.
And I think she knew I was kind of this geeky kid and wanted to kind of encourage my interest in film, so she would give me she'd do subscriptions to like film magazines that totally the school didn't need.
Wow.
Buy me books, and she was just an amazing mentor to a lot of people at my school that adored her. And then we were shooting in my hometown at Brent's Drugs, which is where we really used to have milkshakes as kids. And we had renovated back to the way it was when we were kids.
That's amazing.
And she happened to come grocery shopping right next door. But I think she really wanted to, she's like, I'm just coming to pick up a few things. Like, but you live in Brandon. You live 20 miles from here.
Oh, she's so proud of you, I'm sure.
And so I said, I'll come grocery shopping with you. And so we went around, because we had lunch break.
Yeah.
And I went around and told her like how important she was to me in my life.
Oh, wow.
How much she's helped me.
That's awesome.
And then she ended up passing away. She just had a long illness she passed away like 7 months later.
Oh, my gosh.
It was cool that I got to tell her how much I appreciated all that she'd done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like one of my Abilenes. Also, there's like kind of, there's four Marys in my life that have like really
guided you along.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's Southern way.
It's funny, being from the South, I'm from Alabama, and I actually grew up with my very best friend in the world had a Betty.
No.
And that in turn was my Betty. You know, she picked us up from school and was kind of a mentor, almost like a mother figure to us. And so that made me just latch on to this movie and want it to succeed and want that story to be shared, because she was like part of our family.
Well, it seems like the theme of the movie, there's two themes of the movie. It's the main core that we're trying to get across is that when people have the ability to use their voice and share and communicate whatever they're feeling or whatever they don't feel or whatever they need to say, it opens up a world of opportunities.
Yes.
Not necessarily for that person, but also for other people.
For other people.
You can, so you, like, you can change one child's life or it can change the world.
That's right.
And we've heard hundreds of stories from people who have seen the movie and shared it with friends and also communicated things that have happened in their lives that they've never told people about.
Wow.
Because after seeing the film. And that's
empowering.
A residual positive effect that the film's had on me.
Right.
I was just happy to make a film that people love to go see and enjoy, but just
legacy.
Hearing those stories is kind of just a bonus for us as filmmakers.
I'm going to say this, just being being African American, of course, as everybody knows, and seeing all of a sudden today, but seeing so many movies that have been portrayed in ways where when you leave the movies you actually are angry with the other race and things of that nature.
Absolutely.
And one thing that I loved about this movie was the colors, the choices, and really keeping it authentic. Mm-hmm. Authentic. Being that this was, a white, a Caucasian writer, producers, but really telling pretty much a black side of it and keeping it real to the point where we can appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Southern roots gave that, but was there anything else that came about that really wanted to keep it there?
Well, the thing is that we had a benefit of having two extraordinarily bright actresses to also help gauge us on how far we need to go.
Right.
As far as the civil rights movement, because you want to create entertainment, but you don't, and you want people to feel the danger that was at stake at that point.
Right.
But you don't necessarily want people to revisit to where it's
the hatred.
It feels like a history lesson.
Negativity.
Yeah, you don't want a history lesson.
Yeah.
You want the core of the story is about three women who do something extraordinary together and create change in their that starts in their small community, but it spreads out.
Yes.
And so by giving a voice to people that hadn't ever been able to have that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so Viola, when we first met with her, Tate and I met with her in the Valley at some restaurant, and she's like, I've got notes on the script about my character.
And so I'm ready.
Well, let's hear them. And so she gave this insight that that Tate and I had no way of having. And Tate basically stole a bunch of those ideas, said, I'm going to steal these ideas and make changes.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then, he really implemented a lot of the changes that she wanted. And then also Octavia was a consultant throughout the whole process.
The whole entire process,
because
right.
Tate and Octavia were roommates at the time.
Right.
So,
Only in LA.
And it's, Octavia always wants to share what's on her mind.
Is that a theme? Should actors today meet up with producers on the way and hopefully they'll be able to write a strip for them one day? Is that?
No.
No? Okay.
No, thank you.
Just a lucky one.
Listen, guys, I know you have a million questions, but Brunson is a very busy man with the big show coming up this Sunday. We're going to let you go because I know you've got a
We really appreciate
tonight.
You coming
thank
out.
Thank
so
you.
Very much. Congratulations.
Definitely.
Good luck.
So and it will go the way it's supposed to go.
Yes, it
Congratulations.
Will. Keep that attitude.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brunson. Thanks for coming by. And we are so thrilled that we have so many great guests today on
AfterBuzz. This is amazing. I'm so thankful.
Yes. Well, guess what? Surprise last minute guest. Catherine Stockton here.
All right. The author of Help.
Yes.
Yeah, so Catherine, you originally wrote this book. This was your first novel, right?
Yeah.
And no one had any idea.
She is bawling.
No one had any idea, including yourself. Will you scoot closer to the mic for us?
Sure.
Thanks.
I don't want to cover that pretty face.
But certainly you had no idea that this would become what it became, especially after being rejected by 60 publishers. Is that right?
60 agents.
Right.
An agent for 3 years. And,
wow.
But after that much rejection, it just rolls off your back,
That's good.
What kept you going in that whole time? Was it the story? Did the story just empower you to keep going?
I felt so close to Mississippi when I was writing it. I was living up in New York. I had a little apartment downtown that I still share with Brunson and Tate Taylor.
Oh, my gosh.
You really share
an
apartment?
Oh, yeah.
In the East Village.
In the East Village.
I know that apartment.
Street. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Lots of good stories about that apartment. And so I was living there with my husband, who's now my ex-husband.
Wow.
And I got so homesick for Mississippi. And Dimitri, who was the African-American woman who, changed changed my life. Mm. She made me who I was today.
That is awesome.
And I really wrote it as an homage to her.
Mm. Yeah, that's Kendra, you were talking about that right earlier before the show.
The relationship. But as you had, I mean, I read I read that with every...
Sit you up a little bit. There you go.
Now I see you.
Yeah.
I read that with every rejection, you kind of sort of thought it was a good thing, and you went and kind of tweaked the story a little bit. How different from the beginning was the end product?
Oh, good question.
The book, The Help, started out as just a conversation between Abilene and Minnie and Mae Mobley, who's the little white girl. And then God, please, I can't hear that anymore. My daughter says that to me now. Making fun of me, though. No,
it's a good thing, though.
Words are powerful, though.
They are.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
And when you hear that come out of Viola Davis's mouth, it stops my heart.
It touches you.
It's Dimitri used to stand me in front of the mirror in my grandmother's house and just feed me so many positive messages. And, you know, you
shaped who you are.
Yeah.
Love has been the theme through this, and I can tell what I've learned is the things that you put out there with passion and love, no matter what, it just has this momentum that is unstoppable. Now, have you felt that that's what it's been with this, since you had that underlining love, that just whatever needed to be attracted to it in its right time was?
Well, look, in my world, love always prevails.
That's right.
Love wins. And the negativity that's been, that comes my way every now and then, because I am a white person and I've written in a black voice. You know, the thing is, I get that.
Right.
But what I'm so proud of is that it starts conversations that might not have happened otherwise.
Absolutely.
So the controversy is also just part of that process of breaking down barriers.
That's great.
You know, my Mormon mother, I rarely buy movies on DVD anymore, just because I don't. I rent them from Netflix or whatever.
Right.
I purchased this film. I sent it to my mom. My mom is Mormon, as I mentioned, living in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where you're born and raised, you may have not been exposed to different cultures or different people.
Right,
but what I loved about this film is that despite the fact that it takes place in a certain period of time, in the 60s, I feel like this message is so applicable to today.
Right,
and
now,
after going to the premiere here in L.A., I remember leaning over to my friend and saying, oh my gosh, did you draw all those parallels with everything that's going on with equality today? You know, no matter what kind of minority you are, it seems like you can draw
a through line. These issues
exist. They exist. So I sent it to my mom, and I thought, I don't know what she's going to think. I hope she likes it, especially the pie scene with Octavia.
My favorite part.
My favorite part. Right. And the cuss words. But you know what? My mom, she was like, Derek, wow, that film, it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch, but she was left with such an uplifting message, and I think you must be so proud to have your story rejected by 60 agents finally get published and go so far as it's gotten today.
I'll tell you what, the way it feels to watch the people I love experience, you know, the success of The Help, Octavia and Viola and Tate and Brunson, that is a gift. I just, you know, you can't even imagine how good that feels. I'm happy just to stand back and watch that happen with them. Oh, yeah.
And the seed was planted in you.
Yep.
And you were able to be bold enough, because even with the tragedy of Whitney, and we just did not take it there, but, you know, we always look at the fact that she put her voice out there, her gift, and she had to be bold enough, one person, to do it. And look how many lives she changed, and look at what you were bold enough to do, and the lives that you changed with your friends. I mean, you grew up together, and then you're the one that's helping them get the nomination. I mean, just that courage, and that's what the theme, the courage. I cried so many times. I laughed.
But that's the beauty of the film,
awesome.
Is the laughter and the crying. It's both.
Happy
it's
tears.
All those emotions mixed up in one, and it leaves you affected.
You
but happy.
To cry now.
Right?
Octavia is funny.
Yes.
The best part of this little cocktail that we've mixed up is that we were all such good friends before any of this happened.
Yes.
Tate and I lived in New York together. Tate and Octavia lived together in L.A.
And isn't it true that you helped out on one of the indie films they were shooting?
Oh, yeah.
You helped out with some of the cooking. So remember
the cooking,
when Brunson was here?
I was like, what can I do? Tate made me wash dishes.
True,
but there was
someone
who told you that for your first film, you were taking too much much of a risk on a director like Tate, right?
Everybody in my life was saying, you cannot give this project to Tate Taylor.
Really?
And I hate to even say that out loud because I'm afraid it would hurt him, but he knew it was going on. My agent, my husband, my family, my lawyers were saying, you can't give this away to someone that doesn't have that, really any film experience. And Tate called me and said, you know, if you give it to some Hollywood type, you're going to film it up in Vancouver, you know, let out a fake box of mosquitoes and spray the sweat on. He said, I would make it in Mississippi, and who better than I to tell the story?
To
because
know it, right.
He grew up down the street from me in Jackson. He knows what, he knew, understood the essence of that love.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Between Abilene and Mae Mobley.
Yes.
He understood also the hate and the hypocrisy between people like Hilly and, you know, in the African American.
So was that an easy decision for you to say, okay, he's the guy, I'm not going to listen to all these voices?
Or was there voices that were saying, don't do it?
I listened to all the people around me for a while until Tate said that. And he said, they're either going to give up trying or they're going to make a bad movie.
Right.
And wait, am I allowed to cuss on here? Because after that, I told them.
They're not going
to
bleep it out.
Fuck off.
Right.
Wow. Amen.
I never looked back.
That's what's up.
And I'm proud of that.
I'm sure you're so
glad. Yes, we're proud of that.
We're proud of that. Yeah. I think everybody who loves the film is, too. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
And you know what? For flying as long as you flew today, I think you look fantastic.
You do. You're glowing because you're so happy.
That's Southern Belle.
You should all know when Catherine walked in, she said, yeah, I'll do an interview. This is radio, right?
Sorry.
We're like, no. All right, well, thanks for putting up with this.
Thank you so much. You're gorgeous.
Thank you.
And the guests just keep rolling in.
They are. Yes, I'm so excited. This is amazing. I hope you guys at home are having just as much fun as we are, because I can't even believe who's about to walk on stage with us right now.
Well, you know, I feel like we should have Kendra introduce our very next guest.
I think we should.
You're going to say we've got the producer.
Well, we had the producer. We had the author. And now we have one of the key pivotal actresses in the movie playing a role that's necessary.
Hello.
So here we go.
Absolutely. We're about to be graced.
Hello.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Can we do introductions really quickly?
Yes.
Brookshire, how are you?
Anna.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
Hi. Oh, Andrea's Kendra, friend. Hi.
I'm Candon.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
And I'm Derek. And I've known Brunson and Tate and the whole gang for a very long time. So look at that. I love it. Thank you for having me. So, Kendra, why don't you jump in since Anna is your guest?
Yes, I'm going to jump into the movie and just say, you was kind, you was smart, you was important. We said that already, but I had to say it. Because I wonder, through the eyes of Elizabeth, what did you think that phrase meant to her?
I don't think Elizabeth ever thought that phrase ever in her mind. I don't think she ever thought it for herself. I don't think she thought it for others. I think she is just so caught up and blinded by trying to fit in and do the right thing that it's like blinders.
Right.
And that's all. She's consumed by that.
How was it to be able to do the inner monologue? Because you did a lot. You had to show your character with a lot of facial expressions. You had to read it without saying as much, but really tell how you were feeling.
An emotional story.
Was that a lot of coaching? Did you just get it when they said this is how you needed to feel and look?
You know, for me, I guess with anything, I'm just trying to be in the moment. And I was working with the most amazing actors. You know, I had read the book and worked on the character, and so I felt like I understood it as much as I could. And then when I was there, you know, looking at Bryce Dallas Howard and thinking, oh my God, I just want to be you. Like, that's not hard to do.
I was going to ask you about the development
of your character. We had Brunson on, and he had written an article saying as soon as you did your first read, you were Elizabeth. So how did you...
I had a really great journey getting into this movie. I did a film with Octavia Spencer about 3 or 4 years ago now called Herpes Boy. Which
is a lovely, adorable, quirky little comedy.
Did you have to kiss the herpes boy?
No, and there's not even any herpes in it. It's a boy with a birthmark on his upper
poor
lip.
Baby.
I know. There's nothing salacious about it.
Wow.
And so she and I became really close friends. And, you know, I didn't have anything remarkable on my resume. resume at the time, and this was a very hard audition to get. Everybody wanted to be in The Help.
Right.
Octavia knew the casting director and
said,
Anna,
it makes a difference who you know.
You are gonna get an audition.
You're gonna get an audition.
And she helped me just get into that door, and so I owe her. And you know, then I had to test for the studio, and I had to go through all the jumping hoops, but she has been my, you know, really guardian angel throughout the whole process. So,
well, it's interesting because, I mean, Elizabeth, you're not a mother, correct?
No.
Exactly. So I was wondering, as somebody who's not a mother stepping in to play a motherly role, that should be pretty hard, pretty difficult. But for Elizabeth, being such a standoffish mother,
made it kind of,
I feel like maybe it was a more comfortable position for you. I mean, is that true? How did you feel stepping into that role?
Well, yeah, there is this disconnect that Elizabeth has with her child, and so normally approaching a role to play a mother, and I've just done it again, you want to bond with that child as much as possible as an actor. But that was really, you know, Viola really needed to bond with my child. And for me, I could accept my discomfort with this idea of being a mother because that's what she was going through. You know, I worked with her and Viola a little bit just so that these young twin actresses weren't scared of me. But yeah, I did get to be uncomfortable with that, which worked.
And that's how, I think that's
like
how the emotion.
I'd like to ask a question.
Okay. You're right on his head, and why, you are allowed to speak. Should we give you a drum roll?
So we talked about Brunson and Catherine, about all of the personal connections when it came to making this film. I love your story about Octavia. She's obviously a phenomenal mentor and actor. And for you to step into a role as an actor, I feel like a lot of actors always talk about like getting into character and really the subtlety of your role. It seems like it would require, you know, it's not the type of show or the type of role that you step into with full gusto, because the subtlety of your character, like you said, the fear and everything on your face, you wanted to do the right thing, you wanted to fit in, you didn't know how to be a mother. How does one prepare for a role like that? And not just the role, but also the audition process. Because like you mentioned, it's not just the first read, it's doing the studio screen test and all of that.
And being consistent in that emotion. You get it right once, but you have to do it again.
Well, that I could answer that question for hours, but I mean, for me, for the preparation on one level was just familiarizing myself with the time period and doing that sort of research as, you know, an actor historian. And Tate had sent all of us the documentary Eyes on the Prize, and you know, just watching and trying to absorb what that time period was, but then at the same time preparing myself to forget about that, because Elizabeth's not thinking about the civil rights.
No.
I'm thinking about my bridge game.
And your dress.
And then I guess there's this whole other level of preparation where I just tried to use what was existing for me, which was like, this was my biggest job I'd ever had. And so I was terrified. I thought I was going to be fired. So I just used that fear of like, oh my God, I want Tate Taylor to think I'm doing a good job. And like, oh my God, Viola Davis. Like, you know, I used my own fear at the time.
As power.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Personal power.
You never would know it. None of us would ever know. It was such a phenomenal.
Yeah, it was a great performance.
This is a question that is definitely something that people want to know. Now, you were playing the boss of, you know, of the maid. So now you had to portray this woman that was, didn't care, you fired her. That can cause some controversy. You know, I know a lot of roles of people that did The Roots and things like that. Some of these women that had to play those roles couldn't even look at them when they had to be that type of person.
Uh-huh.
How has that been for you watching yourself in that role be that person? How did you feel about it, looking at yourself?
You know, a lot of people have said to me, like, oh my God, you were such a bitch in that movie. And sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. But my take on it is just like, what a sad, you know, I had to, as the actor, relate on some level to her and feel compassion for her. So there's no way I could have approached the role thinking, oh, what a horrible person. Because then I couldn't have done her any sort of justice.
Right.
But it is, I mean, it's a really ugly, story.
Right.
But at the same time, I could see that Elizabeth was kind of fighting, I think, internally with her sympathy for the help and that time.
Yeah.
You could see her your facial expressions as the character, kind of fighting with firing the help and crying when you know.
But I think a lot of women probably felt like that. I think there was probably some women like Hilly who didn't struggle with it as much because that's just who they were and they were rigid and that's it. But then there's a lot of characters in history like Elizabeth who were kind of in the middle during that time, like not knowing how do I be brave and step up and kind of go against the grain here.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons why it was such an exciting role for me because, you know, I think very few women were the heroines like Skeeter. I mean, that's an extraordinary character. And very few women were also Hilly, like this kind of evil.
Right.
But there were so many women who just didn't know and were
followers.
Knew
just
what
is.
They were doing was wrong,
right.
but wasn't weren't looking at it. And I think that's kind of more the every woman story than a lot of the other characters, and for that reason it was really appealing to me. And I had women when we were down there come up to me and say I was Elizabeth,
like, wow.
And I know what I did was wrong.
That's deep for people to be able to see themselves and know. And so that's the question that I want to ask you was, what have you gained now that this you're looking at this, and I know you're still going through the awards and you're still kind of on that pace of moving, what have you gained as a person from doing this film when you look back at it from this point?
You know, to be a part of a story that is such represents such an important time in our history, like that no matter what character I am, if I'm one of the bad guys or not, the fact that so many people have seen this movie really is amazing for me to be a part of that
education of
whatever the next generation. Because people aren't making their kids watch Eyes on the Prize. Like, we have to keep educating
with the times.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we keep
history
progressing, but we still have to keep remembering.
Right.
So to be a part of this story, I don't think I will... I mean, it means a lot to me, and I think throughout my career it will always be a huge milestone, I mean, professionally and creatively, but also personally.
One of the things that we talked about with Catherine Stockett, the author of the book, is the fact that this film takes place during a very specific time period in the 60s, but how the parallels can be drawn today are just, there are so many parallels about equality and about treating people differently, which is why I think your character is one of the most important characters of the film.
Because
you're not the Hilly. You're not out there, you're not an outward villain that is easy to dislike. In fact, we do like you because we see your human struggle and the subtlety on your face. And I think there are a lot of people out there who may relate most to your character because your character wasn't a bad person. She wanted to do the right thing, but as it played out, the viewer is able to say, you know what, I don't want to be like that person.
Right. Yeah.
I want to take a stand and do something that's right. And not to say that you were the villain. I think it's interesting some of your friends would say you were.
But it empowers people to be more like the Skeeter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it gives a comparison to, I could so easily be that person.
Courage.
Yeah.
I could so easily be the Elizabeth, but I got to try a little harder to be the Skeeter.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things the movie is about is just everyone finding and acknowledging that inner voice, and
that's right.
The decision to hear it and act on it,
that's
or
right.
to just like
brush
let it
brush
exist
it to the
and
mat.
Not.
No matter
not
what issue it is, right?
No
whether it's
what
racism,
it is,
whether it's civil rights,
it
or
yeah.
something more relevant even to the things that are going on in our economy, or so
totally.
Do you feel like you have now been a part of history with this movie?
Absolutely. I mean, on so many levels, just. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's just it's a story that I think it's a classic, and I don't think it's a story that's been told. I mean, we've seen movies in that time period, but not from this perspective.
No.
And I think Catherine wrote an incredible book with these incredible voices, Yeah, I do feel like it.
That's
and then
awesome.
I don't know when a movie will assemble such an incredible group of women.
Right.
I mean, I feel like I'm part of history for that reason. Like, all these amazing actors and human beings and artists all together.
Mm-hmm.
How was it working with so many women?
It was heaven. I mean, it was.
Was it heaven for everybody else?
Summer camp. Sorry?
Was it heaven for all the other
people? No, no. I don't think Octavia and Viola were. I mean, I was living with Octavia at the time, and okay. It's almost like we were in some ways making, we weren't making different movies, but the story she was telling was very different from the story I was telling.
That's right. Yeah.
So when I came home at night, I was having a very different experience than after her day at work, and, you know, she was spending time sitting with these women that had experiences. I mean, I think, like I said before, part of my job was to forget about all the ugliness, because I just trying to live my Jackson lifestyle.
Right. And this is while you were shooting the film in Mississippi?
Yeah, Octavia and I lived together.
That is so cool. I love hearing behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, I always said, Octavia, like, if you watch that movie and knew nothing, who would ever think Elizabeth Liefel and Minnie Jackson were roommates? Like, you would never put those two together.
But what would you do at the end of the day? I know you said your heads were in different places, but were you hanging out?
Were
you
totally. Watching? When I say our heads were in different places, I mean, I think...
you weren't, like, shutting the door and
emotionally.
We would have
inwardly.
Dinners together. Right. We would have we'd talk about how it went. We'd talk about our insecurities. And,
absolutely.
We talked about everything.
Right.
But I just think, for me, sometimes it felt like summer camp, and for her,
it was hard.
He said summer camp. Why summer camp?
That's very Elizabeth-like.
No, but Taylor created this amazing environment, and I think what Viola has said is so true. We were dealing with such an ugly period of time.
That's right.
That to stay sane, we had to make sure we were having some fun.
Yeah.
You're
and
right.
Enjoying each other's company and celebrating each other. So we had dinners, and it was, despite the difficulties of the subject matter, a really wonderful time. And we were in the middle of nowhere, so who are you going to hang out with but all of your amazing castmates?
That's right.
So we had it.
One question, and I know you seem like you're about to ask one, and I'm going to push it right over to you.
We don't want
to
keep Anna all afternoon.
Right.
We'll wrap
So now, I know just when you're actually doing the movie, it's one thing, but when you sit back and you watch the movie, it's another thing. How many times did you cry or were surprised in the movie when you sat back and saw it totally put together?
I was kind of crying throughout it. I mean, it's a powerful experience for me as an audience member, just watching what I think is a great movie, but then also being like, oh my God, I'm a part of this. I'm crying out of, like, tears of joy.
Yeah, I saw Anna at the premiere, and she was a total mess. Her mascara was...
She forgot the waterproof mascara.
I'm totally teasing.
That is funny. Definitely funny.
When was the first time you saw the film? Or at least in some sort of completed-ish form?
Tate had arranged a screening for the cast and some of the crew, like a very small, maybe 20 of us, at the Universal, at the DreamWorks, in the DreamWorks Theater. It was a very small group,
wow.
And we
intimate.
Saw it intimate. I
yes.
mean, not with the final music,
right?
But that was the first time I saw it, and it was an incredible experience. And then again at the premiere to see it with my family and
right. How did they take it?
Oh, but
seeing
I mean,
you like
they love. I mean. They loved it. I
of
mean,
course, you they baby,
the,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
They just watched it. The first time they saw it, they just watched
right.
it.
Right.
And then maybe they had to see it again.
Yeah. Exactly.
So were they surprised that you could take it there and be that role and be that believable? Were they surprised to see you in that character doing it?
I don't know, because my family is kind of my biggest support system, so I think they were more just proud than surprised at my ability, because if anything, they've been, you
supportive.
Know, rooting me
pushing
on the whole way.
How did the story affect them?
Oh, I mean, they were incredibly moved by it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I still today have friends who are still kind of hesitant to see it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to advocate, you know, you're going to like it, because it actually, it doesn't exploit that time. It kind of bridges the gap and the divide. Do you find yourself kind of like advocating the film to your friends? Do you have any friends that are still?
No, but you know, I know a lot of people. It's not everybody has responded positively to the movie, that's okay. for sure. And for some people, maybe they won't ever see it or wouldn't like it. And
oh,
I
that's such a shame.
Right.
But you know, to each his own, and I can respect that. And it's not for everybody. No movie is, or no good movie.
That's true.
And I'd rather be in a film that hits a nerve and
that's true.
People
that
have an opinion about
think.
Than
you have to be
the
in the right mental state, I think, to learn the right lessons from the movie. And if you're not in that mental state, it's probably not going to do what it's meant to do.
But I also think that any citizen of planet Earth, specifically if you live in America, I just, when you said that, it makes me cringe because I think, what a tragedy if someone is not going
to
see
him.
I know I'm a bit biased because of my connection to the guys, Tate and Brunson, but honestly, I saw Brunson on the beach July 4th, mm-hmm. and he was like, hey, I got this film coming out. It's The Help. You should see it. It's going to be good. And then a month later at the premiere, I was like, oh my gosh, why didn't I? It blew me away. It blew me away. And not only was it my favorite movie of last year, it is one of my favorite movies
of all time.
Of all time.
I have to say that. And it's not... I just feel like it is so relevant and applicable. I will show my children.
But that's right. so amazing yeah. because you're not a Southern boy. You know, I'm a Southern girl. He's a Southern boy. Right. So it affects us in a certain way. But it's so amazing that it affects others who weren't as close to that time period mm-hmm. and that story as maybe we are.
Totally.
So that yeah. just gives it even more power to yeah. tell this message that is yeah. applicable all over the world.
Yeah. So let me say this to you. Mm-hmm. Like Oprah always says, one thing that you know for sure. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that you know for sure that you would give to any person that maybe wanting to walk in your shoes one day, something that you would want to say to them that you know, something that is in your heart about this film, what is the one thing that you know for sure when you look at this experience?
Oh, that is a hard question.
I know, I feel so much pressure.
She's getting nervous.
No, that's a really good question. I had wanted to really capture something great. What I know for sure, you must surround yourself by loving people.
That's what's
Amen.
Up.
Honestly, because love. I wouldn't be here without the support and love of other people.
Yes.
I mean, of course, I'm here because of my own hard work and all that, but without a community, you're
yes,
nothing.
That
and that's
team.
Also what this movie is about.
And it seems
yes.
like The Help wouldn't be what it was without the community either.
Yeah. Yeah.
This has been awesome.
This
Amazing.
Has been great.
Yes. yes.
Guys,
so
thank
you so much.
Much.
Thank you.
This has been so
Riley, thank
awesome.
You. And she matches our yes. Stephen
Wow. Yeah, you do.
That on purpose.
You totally match. Yes. Seriously, we are all so yes. excited to watch your career and see where it takes
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
What is your next project, by the way? Is there something?
I'm just about to finish this small indie movie called The Time Being with Wes Bentley and Frank Langella and Sarah Paulson and Carrie Stoll and Corey Stoll. And we've had a good time doing it. It's kind of like the
good
opposite
cast.
Appearance of The House.
Totally.
We'll have to look for that.
Yeah, yeah, we're just wrapping it up now and I've learned a lot.
That is awesome. So much,
thank
Anna.
You.
So
thank
can we find you on Twitter anywhere? Or how do
I am not on Twitter.
Are
you know,
got
I'm so... No, I'm so bad at social media, but I'll catch on.
Hey,
sometime.
Catch on. We definitely appreciate you coming in.
Thank
for
you so
sure,
much.
Thank
for
you.
Sure.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Good luck.
I think, Brookshire, you might have to read the entertainment like gossip blogs if you want to keep up with Anna. She's not on Twitter. So.
Yeah, not on Twitter.
We
got to find
her
on entertainment gossip blogs. Well, I'm going
to
keep up because she has definitely a career to keep
watch.
Up with.
Yes.
For sure,
yes.
for sure, for sure.
Definitely.
So I guess we're going to be going. Are we doing a commercial plug? Or are we going?
I don't know. I think we're
no,
done.
We've got
it.
You know, we've got about 10 minutes left, so
okay.
I want to really, I mean, I'm so thankful that we
right,
had
definitely.
Those guests. I mean, what kind of, that's a great insight
it's
to have into
panel.
This film. It's so powerful.
Yes,
and
yes,
to really
yes.
know how close to their heart this movie is, the people
right.
who are really involved with the movie, I'm just
well,
blown away.
What I love about it, and we've talked about this throughout the hour, is that the personal connections run so deep in
right.
this film. Everything from the fact that Catherine Stockett, the writer of the novel, and Tate grew up and knew each other at 5 years old, and they all lived within a
yeah.
1 mile radius of Brunson,
right.
and then later they would all become friends, and I love this story.
It's like a Cinderella story. Like,
right.
It really
yeah.
kind of
I mean,
is.
It really is, and that makes it so much more of an impactful movie, and I think it wouldn't be the movie that it is without that family, just like Anna said, that community. That's what made this movie
yeah.
what it is,
right.
and that's what makes us all who we are and shapes us.
It's yeah. two different stories. The behind the scene has its own story that looks like it
yeah.
should be a movie, and, because, and the story itself.
You know what?
I want to
see that movie. I
right.
want to see like
I want to see that
the,
movie because
behind
that's interesting.
The movie, the Help movie.
Right, behind the scenes of The Help.
My favorite
movie.
Is always the DVD extra of
yeah.
the behind the scenes.
Oh, I gotta
and
get that.
Hearing
right.
the cast interviews.
They
you
didn't
can find
do a lot on the package of the movie with the behind the scenes commentary.
I think
like
it's coming. I think it's coming. Just
some
wait.
Some stuff online. If
yeah?
you just Google The Help and you search
yeah.
Brunson's name or Tate's, you
right.
can
there was
find
some things.
YouTube.
But the one thing that rang true and what I've heard was it's not what you know, it's who you know. That is rang true through this whole entire process. process, everyone having that certain connection in place, you know. And then, like you said, another thing that rang true was fear versus faith.
Yep.
I mean, just being able to have the courage, you know, and love, and then really having that courage and love to affect change. You know, those are some of the, you know, and of course friendship was some of the major themes that I've noticed, and then especially listening to them, that were, you know, which is why we're all here right now, which is courage, love, fear. Everybody is breaking out of a different shell to stand up and say something. And so
that's one of my
I was just going to say, but that what gives me faith about that is that it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yes.
It's not even just who you know, it's who you impact.
Right.
And that's a good one, right? Another
you know,
level.
For me, I meet so many people. We all meet so many people.
That's right.
And we know so many people. But
yeah.
It's those who impact right. you and who you impact that change your life or that you change theirs.
That
and
makes a
that's,
big deal.
That's the even deeper story to your point.
Leaving, like you said, like anything, you want to be remembered or you want to get the job. So leaving that impression made a difference. When they first met in the festival, go into there. He trusted him enough to be able
right.
to do that. Then the Octavius, and then they moved together, and then that whole meeting. Everything was on trust. Everything was on friendship. And then look at the results of a beautiful
right.
friendship. This is a testament to a beautiful friendship.
It is.
Richard, let's take a minute. We only have about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about some of the specifics of the film.
Right.
Absolutely.
And one of the things, one of my favorite quotes of the entire movie is when Allison Janney's character, she plays Skeeter's mom, mm-hmm. when she says to her at the end, finally, after
yes.
all that Skeeter's mm-hmm. been doing, she finally approves of her hard work. And
yes.
not only approves of it, but says, Skeeter, they say that courage skips a generation,
right.
and
yes.
thank you for bringing it back to our family. I love that.
Yes.
Because not only
I
is
cried.
It...
Did
you,
yes.
you cried? That was one of the moments
that was
you cried.
A crying moment.
Yep.
I think I did too.
I'm not a punk.
Not only was it phenomenally played by Allison, but I think it's always rewarding as a viewer to
yes.
see this character finally
validation.
Validation,
yeah.
exactly. Because we all want validation in real life. But in the film, I thought that that was a pivotal moment.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And
what,
also, oh.
I just want to say, what would have happened if that hadn't? I mean, we would all be probably confused if we didn't get that validation.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Because we're rooting for her as fans.
Right.
To
yeah.
get it.
We needed that,
I mean,
right?
You needed
what
it.
Was
going to
happen when the book was out and her mom seen it? Was she going to be where? When was the validation going to come from
right.
someone? And she definitely needed that. And then also that validation with Skeeter and Abilene when they first came into the house, which I thought was so important. When she spilled the tea,
yep.
and Abilene looked at it and said, oh, "I ain't never had no white person in my house before." That was taking you back to that era of it was against
again.
The laws and the rule book. She was like, I know this is against the law. Even to be here, we could be arrested and everything can be stopped. So, I mean, that was the bond and their facial expression, their eye contact, the trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was in jeopardy at that point.
And kind of a yeah. heartbreaking moment at the same time.
Yes.
Because you
yeah.
see how Abilene is so dressed up and so nervous. You know, she's put on her best dress and
right.
she's about to serve this tea. Oh, my gosh. I mean... They did such a great job of transporting the
yes.
viewer back into the 60s.
And those were real
right.
moments because the author actually had that happen yep. with her own Dimitri.
Right.
And even visually, I mean, the visual aspects of the film, like if they hadn't been in Mississippi and they hadn't been in those kind of lower income areas, like it
right.
wouldn't have brought back, you can't recreate that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you really can't.
Well, and the set design too, mm-hmm. there was, I forget the woman's name, Rena something, she set designed for the pilot episode of Mad Men.
Oh wow!
She
oh yeah, that's
on
right.
This movie, The Help. She won an Emmy actually for her work on
oh,
Mad
wow.
Men. And
Rena D'Angelo.
Yes, she was phenomenal. And in fact, in Hilly's living room, that sofa. You know when Octavia comes back and is serving the pie,
mm-hmm.
the
right.
whole living room set up off the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
That couch that Sissy Spacek is sitting next to. That was actually the couch found in that home.
Wow.
In that part.
And
of
I actually heard. I believe it was Tate Taylor's mother's refrigerator was used.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
something.
Wow.
So, like,
you're
really,
kidding.
there's pieces from that era that are in the film, and that makes it so much more believable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just to touch on the music quickly, Thomas Newman did the score.
Mm-hmm.
He's known for Shawshank
oh,
Redemption,
yeah.
American
Amazing.
Beauty,
right.
award-winning, and I think it was just a nice undercurrent mm-hmm. just through the whole movie. Kind
it's
of,
an emotional build-up.
Yes.
It brought you back to that era.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, really music from that time.
Yeah. The score is so important.
Yes. It is important.
Oh
and people
gosh.
May not think it's important in a movie like The Help, but I think, you know, subconsciously a viewer...
It takes its music.
It's going to
yeah.
take you there. It's going to give you that emotional
mm-hmm.
pull.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Well, and we
then,
talked a little bit with Catherine Stockett, the author of the novel, about how Tate had really pushed her to direct this film. He
right.
wanted to be the director of this film. And getting the film to shoot in Mississippi, I know that Tate and Brunson and another of their friends drove through Louisiana and Mississippi,
right.
bundled up, drove and scouted around these locations. And I'm glad that Catherine made that point, because had this film been shot anywhere else, I think that it would have had a different impact.
Away,
this film was believable, in my opinion, from top to bottom. Visually, the location, the set design, those all played into really hitting a home run.
And nothing can refute that.
And we can't dismiss the executive producers. We had Nate Berkerson. We knew from Nate Berkerson show, when they were at their times of not having any funding, he came in to help the development of it when they first got to Mississippi.
It's a team effort.
Right, before the big projects came on board. So that was also a great thing. We can't forget Chris Columbus, because oh my goodness, he was the reason. Of course, it needed a backbone, so of course, or a name, let's say a director's name that could connect it. Chris Columbus came in from 1492.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing came from Christopher Columbus, you know, landing on America, that whole process. But he came in, had the connections with DreamWorks, with Steven Spielberg, which green-lighted it.
You know,
but this was a film that wasn't normal for him. But because he understood, you know, Tate as a writer, director of, you know, Chicken Party and the other movie that he did, he was like, okay, he understands the dynamics of film, making film, etc. So we can't dismiss the people that actually put their hands in, really pushing this to the forefront when it was time. Now, it helped that the book hit, you know, number one when that happened, for Chris to jump on board, but it still happened.
I think we probably need 2 hours to talk
about this film next time.
Because
but
we
thank,
are
to the,
out
thank
of
you
time.
To those people.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Yes. Well,
definitely,
again,
definitely.
The Help is a phenomenal movie. If you have not seen it, pick it up on
DVD or
rent it. And from all of us here at AfterBuzz, thanks for hanging out with us for the past hour. The Gifting Suite continues.
Thank you, Carrie Feinstein PR.
Yes, thank you. Carrie Feinstein PR.
Thank you to all of our guests.
So we're going to take a 15-minute break and meet us back here in 15. We'll have some different hosts up here. What's our next movie, by the way?
Moneyball.
All right, so keep it right here.
Stay tuned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.